kilometer from Mpumalanga province.
Good afternoon. I am Loli Sibis. I am the committee secretary.
Good afternoon. My name is Ronaldo Rita and I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Susan Sandler, the committee assistant.
So I just said the leader of the delegation can introduce himself or herself, and then others will follow.
Unfortunately, it seems to be me. Okay, thanks, sir. Lisa Homolata, Department of Public Enterprises, Energy Development Unit. Yeah, and I will send over to you.
Madam Chair, Puleng Sijana Mane, Chief Executive Officer, Broadband Infocom.
Good afternoon, Ramasela Makwele, Chief Financial Officer, Broadband Infocom.
Afternoon, Madam Chair, Fundiso Yina, Acting Chief Technical Officer, Broadband Infocom.
Afternoon, I'm Bodhi Tsalani, Parliamentary Officer, Public Enterprise.
Afternoon, Chairperson, Denzel Bowman from Neotel, responsible for government liaison.
Afternoon, everybody, Kamanita Dennis Dudley from Telco.
Afternoon, Madam Chair, members. My name is Peter Curtis. I'm the General Manager of Markets and Competition at ICASA.
Honourable Chair, Mapelo Mbunela from ESCOM.
Okay, I'll give this to the PMG.
Hi, Daniela.
Daniela, can you...
I'm Daniela Duffy from
Hi, Daniela Duffy from PNG.
You mustn't worry about the numbers. You'll worry when you get the questions. For this moment, I'll give this opportunity to you to brief us. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chair, I don't hear you commenting about the gender. Or are you satisfied because it's Skokela Mbafa?
No, that's why I said I don't know who's leading the delegation, whether it's he or a she. But it looks like Skokela Mbafa, Malibongwe Kamalama Kosikas. Yes. Lisekho is from DPE, so he'll start on the part of DPE and then hand over. Ne? Okay.
Thanks, ma'am. Yeah, not every month is a big instrument, man. So that's good. Okay, so we thank the select committee for the invite. And I think as we continue doing this difficult job of okay, sorry, that's feedback, I'm not lying. That's some noise. But should I try another mic?
Yeah.
Okay. This is better, thanks. I think, as I said, we thank the invite and probably also apologize that DG is also in another meeting. He probably
that you come through. But I think to Pam and Tran, I answer the question that we've come with the team from Infraco to just to share a presentation about what the work they've been doing together with us. And I'm also glad to see the regulator here, because I think we together with the DOC and Treasury and I think other two related stakeholders within government, we try to have a dialogue to say how do we best achieve the Vision 2020 as set out by the policy department. I think the one thing I will just repeat while I'll get the committee knows that whatever work we do has to be within the policy space as guided by the Department of Communications. So we don't set the policy. So somewhere along the line we tend not to see eye to eye, but I hope it doesn't inhibit the delivery, service delivery of the government. So I think for now I'll hand over to the CE from Broadband Infrastructure to run us through the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair and honorable members. Just as an overview, we're going to reaffirm what Infraco is about and then take members through the investment province, the investment program across all the provinces. And I will hand over to the CFO to go through the numbers section of the presentation. Just as a start, and for us to just reiterate that our mandate is more about us increasing access of broadband, access and affordability of broadband as stated in the Act. And for us to do that, we are obviously governed by the ECA. We are governed by the ECA. We were licensed in 2009. We launched our first services in 2010. All along there has been a contract between Broadband Infraco and the second network operator. Just to indicate to members about the footprint of Broadband Infraco is based on Eskom and Transnet servitudes. So just as you roll out electricity, you do need communications. When you roll out rail, you do need communications. So I think it's a very good thing that government has done to say leverage on what exists to aid competition within the country. So there's coverage across the entire country. We do have connectivity to all the six neighboring countries, to five of the six. We are currently in discussions with Botswana Telecommunications and as well as Broadcom, which is a new entity that would be an equivalent of Broadband Infraco. We are a tier one investor in WEX. WEX was an investment to ensure that there is capacity set aside specifically for the SKA bid. So we are a tier one investor. We also have an advantage by virtue of us being in the south part of Africa to connect the east and the west coast. So we consider ourselves to be able to offer services even to entities that are outside of the country. And because WEX cuts across various countries on the west coast, we also consider those to be markets that we can sell capacity to. And with that, it would mean we would have to have partnership with various entities that manage the landing stations on the west coast of their country. Our interpretation of the mandate was for us to look at where is infrastructure in the country, and if we are to expand access and availability, ensure that we do not duplicate what already exists. So we've classified the provinces into three groups. The first three groups being the groups that contribute significantly into the GDP of the country. Free State is part of that, but Free State is part of that by virtue of its geographic location. So from a telecommunications point of view, Free State benefits from infrastructure rollout because of where the province is located. Gauteng, between Gauteng, Western Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal, they account for more than 70% of all traffic origination in the country. That would mean that that is where the private sector would want to play because it's commercially sound. This is where there has been a co-built consortium to roll out because it's called the Golden Triangle. That's where most of the traffic originates. That's where the corporate hubs of the country are located. Even new companies, new entrants in terms of infrastructure rollout are also rolling out within those three provinces. As InfraCo, what we look at is where there are gaps, and we believe that within Gauteng, the gaps are as identified by the province specifically and ICASA. There is a gap in the Western District, there is a gap in Sidibeng District. When we move to KwaZulu-Natal, there's a gap, of course, in the rural parts of that specific province. The Free State, there are, if I may call it, freeways of telecoms going through the province. What would need to happen there is to ensure that the freeways have got the byways and the regional roads attached to that. So whilst it does have infrastructure, the infrastructure has got to be brought closer to where the people are. So where, from an InfraCo point of view, we consider these provinces to be provinces where targeting these provinces specifically would be to aid the private sector to be able to provide services, higher service levels to their customers, and for us to be able to fill in the gaps where access is not reaching people. When we move to the next lot of provinces, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo, maybe I should say the first three provinces are where you can use your iPad and your iPhone easily in the metro areas. The next batch of provinces is where you now need to go to your less smartphones. The first provinces are where all technologies would be tested. The first provinces are where the backhaul capacity is sufficient. The first provinces are where the mobile operators will be rolling out additional capacity to the base stations. With regards to the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo, I mean, between these three provinces, if you look at the 3.8, 6.2, and 4.1 traffic origination, we see that the origination of traffic in these provinces is quite low. But of importance to in these provinces is we consider these to be priority provinces for us, because services are required. There is a market. It's not as lucrative for the commercial sector. That is where we would come in and ensure that we roll out. Because once we roll out, the private sector would then be able to come and roll out and provide the end user services. So these three provinces, in terms of our investment programs going forward, are priority provinces for us, without neglecting the other provinces, Madam Chair. Our mandate is to expand access and availability of broadband. And for us to do that is to ensure that we roll out where there's a need. So that just like a baby born in a hospital here in Cape Town can get a certificate within hours, that a baby born in Upington should be able to get the same. And for that to happen, we need the broadband infrastructure. provinces where there's a challenge, because, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, I think we are aware of the contribution of these provinces to the GDP, but most importantly, if we look at the population density of these provinces, it is quite low. So for rollout to these provinces, there has to be a partnership, as the Acting Chief Director has indicated, to say how do we ensure that services can be brought to the people of the Republic, that they can also be part of the knowledge economy. A knowledge economy does not necessarily mean just access to internet only, but it is access to the knowledge that exists out there, the ability of broadband to be able to enable education, to enable health, to enable access of information by the small and medium enterprises. That's why it is an imperative that we come with innovative ways to resolve the rollout of broadband in these provinces. But there are newer technologies that can be utilized in these provinces. So from our side and with the department, the infrastructure required here because of the population density may not necessarily be fiber. So it may also be wireless. I think when I say that, we've got to consider that we've got a very low penetration with regard to landline, but we've got a very high mobile penetration. And I think what we do need to consider is that we've got very high mobile voice penetration. So we've got a lot of 2G base stations all over. You can use voice wherever you are, but try using your dongle in Bishop and expect the same kind of service that you can get in the middle of Cape Town. That's not the case. So mobile broadband also becomes quite critical because it's got a high penetration from a voice point of view. And that also talks to the availability of spectrum. And that's where we start talking about the digital migration and ensuring that the spectrum is available. I do believe that as a country we'll still meet the date, and that would ensure that we are able to get access to the spectrum and are able to roll out. We strongly consider ourselves to be a vehicle for 2020 because we are a carrier neutral entity. Government competes with no one. Government ensures that services are rolled out to the citizens and services are delivered effectively. From an investment program point of view, I'll just take members to I'll take members through the investment programs, and we'll go through that, I think, province by province. Of course, we start off with a national backhaul. That's how the company started. But a national backhaul without the appropriate off-ramps and regional roads does not help from a telecommunications point of view. So we do need to ensure that we are able to do that, that we are able to reach where customers do need to the service. And if you look at the classifications of the provinces, we also do believe that we can get an ECF license as stipulated in our Act, not for us to be able to provide services to the end users, but for us to ensure that we are able to unlock economic growth in those provinces where we believe that it can be unlocked by providing services to the SMMEs that exist within those provinces, and the education institutions there as well. The way we align with government, I know on the strategic objectives 2010 to 2014, it was outcome number 6, which talked to the access to broadband. But with the strategic infrastructure projects currently, we directly impact on 615, which is access to broadband. We impact on 616, we provide broadband capacity for SKA. 617 for regional integration, because we provide connectivity to the regions, but our investment in WECS also enables us to provide connectivity on the West Coast. We support the two education strategic infrastructure projects and the health projects in 12, 13, and 14. But we also impact on the efficiency of municipalities, which is 616, the infrastructure connectivity of municipalities. I'm happy ESCOM is represented here, because we benefit from CIP6, which is about the rollout of electricity in the country. The investment program covering period 2012 to 2013 to 16 to 17 brings together projects with an investment of about 4 billion rands. What we have done is we looked at the provinces, we looked where the gaps are, and based on those gaps, we said it's got to be a systematic way of rolling out telecommunications infrastructure, because telecommunications infrastructure has got to be planned just like electricity and roads infrastructure is planned. In a situation where we have pockets of entities delivering infrastructure, whether it be a municipality building its own infrastructure, that would mean that there wouldn't be any connectivity. If I may take Gauteng province as an example, because it's got the metros, within Gauteng you have the city of Johannesburg with infrastructure, you have city of Tshwane with infrastructure, you have Ekurhuleni with infrastructure. But you also have all the private sector companies that have rolled out. If you take those three municipality infrastructures, they are not connected to each other. Best way to optimize is to ensure that there is a master plan, just like there's a master plan for roads, and that there is connectivity. And that there's connectivity between all the entities that roll out infrastructure. So, from what I've said, we have fully adopted the CIPS program. We are working with our board and the executive authority, just so that we may align and be able to report. And I think that the strategic infrastructure projects allow us as a country to ensure that we can leverage on what is known about telecoms, that it is a GDP multiplier. But if we do not have an integrated plan about telecoms infrastructure, then we will not be able to have an opportunity of benefiting from infrastructure that's been rolled out. If I may take members to the infrastructure programs that we have, on the presentation currently, you will see members that the blue line is where we have infrastructure that's based on Transnet. The red line on ESCOM, the red one is where we have infrastructure based on Transnet. The yellow line is where on our 5-year plan we intend to roll out. So for the Eastern Cape specifically, we would be connecting 37 out of the 38 municipalities. Will be deploying 487 kilometers of fiber, and that is intended to for us to deliver specifically on our mandate as per the Act, but also be able to assist us or contribute to delivery of SIP, SIP 15. The next investment program that we have is for Limpopo and Mpumalanga province. There is infrastructure that is deployed there. We intend to upgrade the infrastructure that is there. We intend to deploy 554 kilometers over a period of 5 years within that province. The deployment would also provide us with an alternative route for connectivity to Zimbabwe, but it would also enable us to be able to connect with Botswana. As indicated, Botswana is the only country where we do not have regional connectivity with, but it is a country where when we deploy we would have had engagements, because there are current engagements that we are having with our counterparts in Botswana. The estimated investment there is 401 million. In terms of the, I think mainly on this, it's about access network. Honourable members, I am, and Madam Chair, I'm sure you are aware that Infraco was started, and when Infraco was started, there was a contract with the second network operator. That contract has ended this year, and that allows us to be able to provide services to everybody and anybody who is licensed and who is license exempt. So that independence requires us to be able to have points of access on our network. Where we need to be an integral part of operators within the country. Ours, we consider our role not to be that of crowding out competition, but partnering with competition and going to areas where they wouldn't go on their own. But with us going there, they would be able to come and be there with us. So we have always focused on backhaul infrastructure, and it is our intention to ensure that we can then leverage on, as indicated earlier, Madam Chair, because we do need the revenue from the private sector as well. And if we need the revenue from the private sector, then we need to also roll out where our network can be interlinked with our network. So we intend to roll out access networks in the provinces that have been indicated here. I should say also for KZN specifically, Madam Chair, there's a project that is running that is led by the Department of Communication that where we are in partnership with Centec. Our role in the project was to ensure that we roll out fiber and have access points in specific locations. And for phase one of that project within KZN, we have delivered the access points that we were required to deliver. Free State, as I indicated earlier, that it benefits by virtue of its geographic location. There's a need to have that metro network rolled out within that province so that the people benefit. I think members may ask that there's rollouts of everybody, but it depends where you are at within the Free State. Again. The Northern Cape, specifically, Madam Chair, as I indicated earlier, that the Northern Cape and the Northwest specifically are provinces that are truly challenged from a telecommunications point of view. And our assessments are based on available infrastructure that we are aware is there, are also based on our engagement with the provinces, because we have gone around the provinces, have engaged with the provinces have shared their vision, where they have challenges, the schools that they want to be connected, the police, the health facilities. And based on that, prioritization of where we should be rolling out. This province would need to deploy about 894 kilometers of backhaul that would connect the various districts within the province. But this province is also critical for us. We rolled out from the Western Cape to Carnarvon there to in support of the SKA project. So this province is important for the SKA project, but as indicated earlier, Madam Chair, this is another province where different technologies have to be considered as well. So from where we are sitting, the estimated investment cost for that specific province would be $364 million. For the Northwest, again, like the Northern Cape, we need over 691 kilometers of fiber that would connect the various districts within the province, but also important for regional connectivity. I should say the Northern Cape is also critical for regional connectivity because we connect with Namibia in Onsiebkans. Another investment program that we're considering is that technology is ever evolving. The network as it exists needs to be able to evolve to internet protocol, and with that it means we would have to change aspects of the network. But it also means that our planning is much more robust now because we would like to be able to provide high-quality services, and with high-quality services, it means that we need multiple routes. With our network being based on Eskom and Transnet services as well, we've got to ensure that if there's a failure, there's an alternative route, because there are restrictions in terms of it's not like you can get access all the time to critical sections of the electricity network. There are time dependencies on that. So we intend as well as part of this program to renew aspects of our network, optimize the design of our network, and ensure that equipment that we put on our network is converged. It can be able to support older and newer technologies, and also that we maintain our network optimally. Previously, our maintenance was through a third party. We do now have a very direct relationship from a maintenance point of view with Eskom and Transnet, and seriously engaging with them to ensure that we are able to provide optimal services in that regard. Okay, that's an overview of what our investment plans are, and I will hand over to the CFO. Thanks, Madam Chair.
good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, CEO and the honorable members. I will just give a summary of what the CEO has indicated per province, our investment program, and how we're going to go about making sure that this investment becomes a reality. As she has indicated that in the Eastern Cape, just to summarize on that slide, which is that we will be spending $244 million for the inland connectivity that go past Cut and Queenstown. And then for the second Northern Ring, which she also indicated the Mpumalanga, Limpopo, which start from Pretoria East and goes all the way out to Limpopo, then goes to Mpumalanga, we're projecting to spend $401 million on that one. Then access network connectivity in the first group of provinces, as was indicated, the Gauteng, the Western Cape, KZN and Free State, it will be $833 million. And the reason why we're spending more money in those provinces that seem to have all is that the access network is by far the most expensive part of the infrastructure. The Northern Cape connectivity that we also doing it for project of national importance as well, we're projecting to spend $364 million, and we will be spending that money. The project is projected to start during the 2016-2017. Then we've got the Northwest Connection. That project is projected 2017-2018, and I will also indicate because of the economic effect of those provinces, how we planning to raise those funds. Over and above all the money that we want to spend, we are working with the private sector, as the CEO has indicated, where we do collaboration with them. So we've got what we call the customer expansion. So we will go and or be approached, but in most cases we'll go to a customer, understand their footprint and understand where they want to go and see how we can best collaborate with them to promote access in those provinces, especially in provinces where there's no access. We are in discussion with different mobile operators in that space that we will be able to access penetration. So the customer expansion estimation is a number that we continuously update on based on our engagement with the both public and private sector, public referring to CITA and Centec in that space. We need to do an upgrade of a network, as indicated, because of the convergence. We are looking at about 1.3. The bulk of the network upgrade, because we're running on Eskom network and we're also on the TFR, we will need, we are working with Eskom with regard to the upgrade of part of the infrastructure to make sure that we are in line to meet our requirement of quality delivery to our customers. Our total expenditures indicated we're looking at $4 billion for the next 5 years. We have started a program of, the slide just gives a high-level overview of the ATLAS replacement program, where we want to replace how many kilometers of fiber and the reasons why we want to replace the fiber. We have started with our roadshow with regard to stakeholder engagement. We currently, as we are engaging with our customer, I mean, Eskom plays a major role in Transnet. They are our supplier on one side, and they're also our enabler, because for our operation and for our business to succeed, we really need that close relationship for our business. So we are working continuously, and fortunate for us, with the sharing of the same shareholder, we're working with them very close for the expansion program. We look at the expansion program and align it as well to where we would like to go. Entities that we have identified as our enablers, as the likes of Sunrail with regard to the road connectivity, and we're also looking at the metro for Prasa. So those are some of the enablers that we look at it, that in the future, once we have consolidated the Transnet and the Eskom expansion program, we should also be focusing on those two. Possible partnerships that we're doing, and I mean, some of them are still at early stage, but most of them we have progressed, or mobile operators We've got good relationship with them. We've started working with them, and we're working on plans to make sure that we connect. And the good thing is that all of them, they are on our network. We've got Selfie on our network. We've got Vodacom on our network, and we also have we've got Neotel, we've got MTN. So we've got all of them. We've got relationship with all the telecommunication operators, so that puts us in a good stand. And we've got also the incumbent across the board, as the CEO has already indicated, that when we go to Botswana, BTI is one of the companies that we also BTC that we also talk to. So we've got a team of engineers and salespeople that goes to all the countries in the SADC region that are building relations to make sure that we will be able to get into those provinces as well and set the African connectivity mandate. When it comes to investment, as to who will be funding this project and who will be helping us in investing in this, we have started roadshows with the commercial institutions, all major commercial institutions. We have already started engaging with them, developmental institutions as well. The CEO indicated that the two provinces that are very critical with regard to the economic activity, the Northern Cape and the Northwest, where we're saying there's little economic activity that is happening there. In that case, we are approaching the Department of Communication for the Universal Service Fund. So this is one area in two provinces that we believe there is a good reason for us to be utilizing those funds to achieve access to those provinces quickly. We are also engaging with the shareholders in areas where we believe they will be able to assist us with regard to additional funding that we might need for the for those provinces that with low economic activity. As I've indicated, we've got relationships that we, some of them are very new that we're building, some have come a long way with us, Eskom, Transnet, and also the key suppliers for us is on the transmission equipment. So, and most of the suppliers of the fiber, those are the people that we're working with closely to make sure that they do understand our mandate and they understand where broadband in Franco will like to go and position it correctly. We have indicated that there are challenges and shortcomings with regard to where we are at the moment. Broadband in Franco, it is a 3-year-old, 4-year-old now organization, but with the technology that is outdated, that needs serious refurbishment. So that we need, we have set programs, our engineers have designed a plan, we've identified area where we call them critical areas where faults, where we've got number of faults that that might affect service delivery, which have not, so, so for us to prevent that, we have done a program of refurbishment and technology life cycle. We also have to redesign a network. As indicated, we were established mostly to service one customer, a second network operator, so now we need to be accessible to the entire market. So we are redesigning it. We're looking at our entire footprint as to say where we would like to go. So we are in the process of doing that. We need to address our mandate in all areas where there is market efficiency and it does not exist, and funding is a challenge, especially in provinces that have been indicated. So we are saying in those areas we must find a creative way, and I think with the help of the department as well, with us approaching the Department of Communication in SASA, we will be able to progress on broadband access. There is a serious shortage of critical ICT skills. The CEO has mentioned the Internet Protocol Core, and we looked around and you can identify where are those skills, and it is not many companies that possess that skill. We're working on our internal process of developing our own skill, but we need to source that skill outside, and it is quite a challenge, but it is an industry challenge. It's not something that is just facing broadband in Franco, that we are competing for skill, and the skill is very mobile because they can pick and choose where they would like to go. Thank you.
Concluding remarks, Madam Chair. Our expansion program is based on delivery of access where access is not available. ICASA has identified underserviced areas. The provinces have indicated where service is required. So the programs that we have shared ensure that we do cover areas. So we look at a province, the district, and the municipalities. That also means that if we could call it the spinal cord being fed, and out of that would be expansion. But that is the first thing that is required to be rolled out in those provinces before we can move any further. From a people investment point of view, we've had an internship program. We have reassessed our internship program, and a new program is focusing on engineers, whether they are varsity graduates or diplomats, that we would put on an intense program that we are currently developing, and we intend to have at least 10 interns going through a program of over 2 years and intend to keep 50% of those for our own utilization. It is very difficult to fill engineering vacancies. Internet protocol is also quite new, and the skill set is also not so affordable. So it is our intention that we will set up something, but we will also collaborate with other state-owned companies on the same, because we do not have to duplicate what exists, but rather complement each other to ensure that we are able to deliver on the telecoms infrastructure that we intend to roll out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members will agree with me if I say you could hear that the Ibuya Kamalama courses are there. Okay, but we thank you for your, that was really on an echo note, but we thank you for your presentation. Though we do have some questions, we'll ask questions. I'll start with Honorable Sibande, followed by Honorable Jacobs, then I'll come last.
Yes. Thank you very much for the presentation, but nevertheless, we'll ask questions for clarity and comments as well. You see, Ma, when can I start? I was listening for this input and also looking for the summary investment program. You know, I'll link it with the following thing. What is your relationship with the rural development? You know why I'm raising that one. I'm a little bit concerned, really. It makes sense, and then from your own presentation, which I was thinking I wanted to get where I wanted to go. From your own presentation, you spoke about the committee assistance or what, for three region provinces, which is Gauteng and Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal for 70%. You know, but other provinces, I mean, also if you check, like they are not busy in terms of transport, whatever, in terms of coordination. The reason can be, from your own input, you said poor infrastructure. The contribution factor is poor infrastructure. Not to say that they are not busy. I'll put an example. If you go to Limpopo province in terms of pilgrimage, is the busiest province ever in Africa. They need some of the things of communication, but infrastructure is poor. And then, from your last input as well, and also what is worrying me. I'm not, you never told them. In terms of your budget, I was looking. I believe Mama that charity begins at home. You check the budget which is given to Botswana and the budget which is given to our own provinces. How much is it? In terms of this investment, or you call it investment, what? Cost, estimated investment cost. To me, it brings a picture as if we have less concern in terms of developing our own country. That's why I'm saying charity begins at home. Check how much is it. I was just writing down for Botswana is 401.4 million, while the estimated for Eastern Cape is 244.2 million, and you go for Northern Cape and Northwest is 364.3 million. But why Botswana? Because yes, I agree that we must play a role in participation in terms of developing SADC and also in Africa, but charity begins where? It means that the focus is not there. Why I'm raising it? You see, from the first question to link it, in terms of our own initiative in Africa, in particular in South Africa, you go to the rural areas, everything. We are still facing a challenge of libraries. In order to have a library, kids must communicate somewhere that we don't have. And we must have laboratories. Laboratories, they need to communicate, we don't have. But you come to a budget. Your budget is focusing there instead of starting here. I've got a problem. And if you see another problem also, which is killing me, an extent, I don't want to ask a lot of things because that is killing me. If you check the historical background of the developed area and the areas which are not developed, you go to, if you talk about Gauteng and then you talk about Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, you talk about metros. But I don't think that you do have anything in the Northern Natal. Where is highly populated? Where is highly consistent? You go to Eastern Cape, it's worrying me. Eastern Cape is highly populated. To an extent, in some departments, our sister partner in terms of the department where I'm serving, we're still having a problem of mud schools. Who's developed them? If you are the people supposed to make plans in terms of development, in terms of focus. And then you come to intense. I was hit when you touched the issue of intense program. Convince me, there's nothing in the rural areas. West in the, let me tell you something, leaving this background. If you go to the Northwest, I mean Northern Cape, we've been in Northern Cape. Their only income source was railway line. Now railway line is not visible anymore. They don't have. It's dull. Why is it dull? There's no proper infrastructure. Who's supposed to be doing the infrastructure? And then I hear you when we are talking, you said some of this, you'll bring a universal, what is it? You spoke about universal service fund. May you please clarify me the difference of the approach, why you use universal funds, why other sites you are using another fund? Because I don't have any problem, really, with this impact, I do have any problem. Because my problem is issue of the new, of schools. And if you can convince me with your plans how to market yourself in the rural areas in terms of development, because your focus is the areas which are well developed, you go to the former disadvantaged areas, like the former rural areas, the so-called the Bantustan is where you don't have anything. But besides that, Northwest, yes, it was a former Bantustan. But if you go to Northern Cape, it was not a former Bantustan. It's vast, Northern Cape. But I don't know. This thing is making me very emotional. That's why sometimes people, they will think that we have a thesis. Why not? I wanted to be convinced on our plan. The reason why we brought you on board, I thought that it, because it's the leadership of this broad-based band. It's broadband. I nearly said, Mahlathini band from my side, not from them. Also, because it's led by people who are so sensitive as Imbokodo. I was happy when you touch about Imbokodo. But Imbokodo must project himself, themselves. They must prevail where it's necessary. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I don't know. I don't have a punch. Maybe you are strategic to call this meeting in the afternoon. After we have eaten, so you don't have much to ask. I'm coming from a rural area, rural parts of the Free State. So if you're talking about a broadband, I have to explain to these people, what is this broadband? What are they going to benefit about this broadband? You know, people from rural areas, they take time to understand. They are slow learners like myself. So you need to take me on board so that I should understand. As you said, we are fortunate in the Philistine because of its centrality. But the manner in which you are rolling out, you still roll out in areas which are urban. I don't see you going deeper into the areas which are in the periphery of the Free State. And I don't think it's going to assist, because what we are trying to do, we are trying to address the backlog of the past. But now, if we will only focus in areas where it will be easy, it does not assist us, because we want even those people who are in the rural areas, they still have to benefit. Because in these areas where there is economic activity, there is economic activity because there is an infrastructure. But now, if there is no infrastructure, it means there won't be any economic activity. And as we are saying, we want to roll out and address things which were there, which were not there in the past. I think they need to benefit. And also, in this rollout, I see all your programs starts in 2013. I don't know what is happening now until 2013. The other one, you have not said about the issue of job creation, how many people are going to benefit, whether those jobs are going to be temporary, they are going to be permanent. I think it's important that we need to get that. And also, where are you going to get your products? From which companies, from which, and how are our people benefiting from this? Because I think even if we are rolling out, in the end, our own people need to benefit. We don't have to empower people who have already been empowered. And also, with the stakeholders, what is your linkages with all these stakeholders, ESCOM, Transnet? What is their involvement? How do you collaborate with those stakeholders that you talked about? And on the issue of skills, I think really address the issue of skills, because I think this is a highly technical program which needs people with skills. So how do you, are you going to address that issue of skills? I think I'll take the second round.
Another person, can we have the second round? Or let me welcome Honorable Mulenza. We did get the apology, but to say you can check on the Eastern Cape how much they have like, planned to use in the Eastern Cape, so that when you come, when the second round comes, you are able. That Honorable Mulenza are representing the interest of the Eastern Cape. CEO, slide number 13, from slide number 13 onwards. These slides are actually not detailed if for us. They are not detailed enough. We actually want to know, for example, what are the time frames for this project? Time frames. And what municipalities will be connected? If you say, let's say, 27 municipalities in Mpumalanga, we want to know where in Mpumalanga 17, where exactly will this happen in Mpumalanga? You know, we have constituencies. We want, when we are in our constituencies doing this constituency work, be able to actually talk like we were talking, speak like you're saying, even if we can't be 100% like you, but that information to the people to say under the Department of Communications we've got, or under Department of DPE, we've got this animal that is being called broadband, for example, like what Honorable Jacobs was saying. We must be able to tell the people the information. And then the expected challenges in this project. Also, what you can tell us is the details of the investment cost. Are there different phases to this plan? And if there are different phases, what are they? What are they? What are the CEO, in your recent report, annual report, you stated that your challenges include slow implementation of projects due to what, extenuating circumstances and challenges within the business. If you can explain what are these, and will they affect your provincial projects? Will these affect your provincial projects in your presentation? Also, last year you stated that you need an IEC license in order to secure the African hub business. What is the status now of the IECs? Yatleba maphelo. Namganwa. Okay, also you speak about involving the private sector and possible partnership with telecommunications operators. However, last year you had irregular expenditure of 151 million, and auditors could not actually obtain evidence to support disclosures in the financial statement. This year you again have irregular expenditure of 3.9 million. Why? And what has been done about this? What was uncovered? Will this not affect the private sector's perception of broadband infrastructure? And the interns, I'm going to add to the question raised by Honorable Subandi. The interns, you clearly indicated that there are no engineers for the best. We don't have engineers. Interns, I think you mentioned 10. 10, we've got 9 provinces. Where will these 10 interns come from? Like when we started, when I was greeting you, I said, we are happy that the delegation is gender balanced. Will this intent be like gender sensitive? Oh, 48 points. Okay. Alright. Is this the okay, I'll come to that, don't worry. Or is there a second? But really, I'm actually really very worried. When you come to the select committee, definitely you need to speak on issues of provincial interest. You were saying that. You were saying Limpopo and Mpumalanga. When you say you must say Limpopo ka, even on your presentation, it mustn't say Limpopo and Mpumalanga. You must say Limpopo 1, 2, 3, because the person who's going to get this presentation on hand and is not here with us won't understand that. For example, I think it was at the beginning, Limpopo and Mpumalanga. Don't look at me like you are wondering what I'm saying. If it needs to be cleared, I'll do that. But I heard you saying Limpopo and Mpumalanga. But this is Limpopo, seven Mpumalanga. At the time. Yes. I'll stop there and then we will come for the second round. Lisiwe. Okay, over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. If I may first take the issue of what is broadband and what is the benefit. I think for us to understand it is telecommunications infrastructure that allows us to be able to be interconnected and be able to communicate. Currently, we are able to communicate easily on voice. It is very difficult to communicate on data. It's very difficult to download emails, the speed at which the emails may be downloaded. What broadband allows us to do is to be able to increase the speed with which we communicate from a data point of view. The benefit thereof is an interconnected society that can access information, that can also be utilized by education institutions for learning, by health as well, especially in our country where information can be transferred easily. So it's about transference of the heavy files of communication, and for that we need infrastructure. We need the broadband infrastructure. If I may start with the people aspect of it, to run the 12,000 kilometers of fiber that we have, there are regional centers across the country. The regional centers are manned by technicians, and in our recruitment of the technicians, we strive to ensure that the technicians come from the areas where they have to be manning the infrastructure. So our 13 regional centers, which are manned by about 3 to 4 engineers, depending on the kilometers of fiber that they would have to cover, manned by technicians that are recruited from the various areas where the centers exist. Honorable member, I should say that the issue of our relationship with rural development, I wouldn't even say it's at its infancy, but it is something that we will consider seriously and look into it. The issue of where we are rolling out, we have license obligations from the regulator who has identified areas where we need to ensure that there are universal access points where all people can then access that specific network. And I would like to believe that in those universal access points, if I may make an example with the Northern Cape, we have to deliver about 10 access points in the Northern Cape. We also have to deliver about 6 access points in the Northwest. The engagements with the various provinces of where that is, where the universal access points are, of course, it's not necessarily considering the rural development, but I think it is something that we from our side would consider and seriously look at. In terms of our rollout, if I may take the issue of the infrastructure connectivity with Botswana, the infrastructure connectivity within the Northwest province specifically, that rollout of the kilometers of fiber that will take us to the borders of Botswana, it's not an investment for Botswana specifically. It just happens to be terminating and allowing us to be connecting to Botswana, but it's informed by the infrastructure that is required across the provinces. So in our naming of the project of where it starts and where it ends, it would be ending at the borders of Botswana. The investment is specifically not for Botswana, but it is for the provinces specifically. The rollout, Madam Chair, as I had indicated earlier, it is definitely to address backlog. Before we were licensed in 2009, only the second network operator could be our customer. We were licensed in 2009. The services were commercially launched in 2010. The CFO has indicated that the company is relatively new. So we could say that in the 2 years, our assessment is where is the infrastructure and where are the backlogs, as Honorable Member has asked. And those backlogs are informed by Engage, where we have indicated that we would roll out, is informed by the engagement with the provinces specifically. I have indicated that we need the major nerves across the provinces and for us to be able to plan, and with those nerves then you can have extension of those nerves, and that's where that's what this expansion program is intending to achieve. It is very much biased to provinces other than Gauteng, because as I indicated earlier, we have a universal access point obligation in Gauteng for the West Rand specifically, but for all other provinces is to ensure that we address what our mandate is. In terms of the program starting from 2013, as I indicated earlier, Honorable Members, that we had a contractual obligation with a second network operator that ended in January this year. And in this year, we then revisited how we've been planning our network. So the programs that we are running this year are programs that are rollovers from the previous year. Instead of continuing with the status quo, we have said that we need a proper network plan, a national plan that says what is our mandate, what are the areas that we are meant to be covering, instead of just being reactive and only extending where there's been a network requirement. Because the plan previously was where there's a requirement from a customer about connectivity from point A to point B, that would have been the project and would have gone out to roll out. Instead of doing that, we've now said, look at the infrastructure that we currently have and say, how do we then roll out specifically to address our mandate rather than responding to customer requirements. On the collaboration with Eskom and Transnet, with Eskom specifically, we are at a stage where we do have a memorandum of understanding for collaboration, because as I indicated to members, that wherever there's electricity rollout, there is telecommunications aspects of that. We've gone through that process in this year. Eskom has shared the plan with us, which we are reviewing to see how we can leverage on what exists within the network. But it's not only an infrastructure issue, but it's also resourcing in terms of people, because there are telecommunications engineers within Eskom and Transnet. And we leverage on the existence of the resources and have agreed that as there is a need, we can then be able to get into an agreement where there is deployment of resources to be able to fill in the gap whilst we are still recruiting for our own use. Thank you. We'll exchange with the CFO on the questions.
Thank you very much, CEO and members.
Honorable Chair, I will start with the question of, with this infrastructure, where are we going to get the resources, the supply and the material for us? Our minister has scheduled a program for enterprise development and procurement, competitive supply development programs as to where we need to procure. And as Broadband, we are currently working on a enterprise development strategy and an aggressive BEE policy that goes over and above the preferential procurement framework. Over that, there is an ICT charter that we're also complying with. But we have segmented our suppliers now between imports and the ones that we're doing locally. When it comes to electronics, we are not getting a supply locally, we're getting our supply internationally. But what we would like to do, we've now said there are certain items like fiber supply, container supply, because most of our presence, our point of presence, we build containers, and we're saying for those containers we need to have local suppliers. So we have started late last year of now, we're not even advertising our tenders nationally, we advertise our tender regionally. We go to the region where we need the work to be done and we advertise there. We're building a database of electrician per region. We're working on that program of building per region. So going forward, a job in the rural Limpopo will not be advertised anymore just the Sunday towns, but it will be a regional focus. We started with Appington last year, and we were able to attract local suppliers in that region that we're using. We're working very close with Eskom, because our infrastructure, as the CEO has indicated, we are on the Eskom infrastructure, and people that can work on the Eskom infrastructure needs to be accredited by Eskom. So we need to work with Eskom per region and actually making sure that we are attracting the right people in those regions. So there are products and goods that we're working on that says on this one they are earmarked for the previously disadvantaged. We're looking aggressively on black women ownership companies. We're looking at youth. Deputy Minister has indicated to us last year, even at the end of the year, that the focus for us should be on the youth, and all our expenditure should be focusing on going, or most of our expenditure in youth development. So we're working on the robust policy and strategy that we will be implementing aggressively so to achieve those statistics. When we come to the issue of, as the Madam Chair has indicated, irregularities and irregular expenditure and how has it been perceived by the private sector. Last year, 2010-2011 financial year, Broadband in Franco got qualified, as the Chair has indicated, because of failure of Broadband to disclose or to quantify the extent of irregularities. We presented at that stage that because there were a lot of changes and there were no management at the organization, what needed to be done, we needed to go back to history of Broadband. We opened our books since 2007 to clean up, and it was a process of saying clean up the organization from the beginning to the end, so that when we start with all our infrastructure roll out, we are clean and we can be seen to be clean by the public and our customers. We went back to the 2007, regardless that it was the 2011-2012 financial year. We engaged, we opened our books to the auditors, and that reconciliation was done, and we got to the point that all the irregularities expenditure have been disclosed and we put into the public to see. But then we put immediate measures that Broadband shall not go again into such position. We had organizational training program. We trained our board. We trained our employees, and we are planning to do another training program that to make sure that people still remember the all the implications of the PFMA, that even people that are not directly working with it every day, they understand why we've got that. And Madam Chair, I think with us being open to the public and to our partners, to say that this was part of our legacy, this is what went wrong, but we have put measures in place, we build in trust. Obviously trust does take a time, but we build in trust, we build a relationship to say that we need each other. The thing about our relationship with the private sector is the acknowledgement by both parties. Neither the private sector can exist and achieve broadband connectivity by themselves, nor broadband infra can achieve that. So we need each other, and that acknowledgement is very clear in the market that we need each other to achieve that. But we are very open with them, and we're very clear in all our dealings with them that we are a state-owned entity. I mean, all entities that we work with in the telecommunication space, they do not comply with BFMA, but we are very clear with them if we enter into any transaction to put that we are a state-owned entity and we comply with BFMA. So there is that appreciation and understanding from the public sector, and we are also engaging with Treasury that this is a very fast competitive industry where there is a requirement, we or the exception, we will apply to National Treasury and get those exceptions. But at the helm of everything, we know that PFMA takes precedence, and I think the market is very much aware of that space. And I'm sure I'm just going whether I might have... Oh, USASA, I think Honorable Sivanda mentioned USASA funding as to what makes USASA more viable for other projects than the others. What we would like to do, remember, is we've identified provinces that commercially it is very difficult for us to convince the commercial banks, the apps of this world, to go and invest in it because the return out of those investments are very little. So where there is no commercial viability, we focus on USASA, and where there is a commercial viability, where we can go with a mobile operator and say, here's a customer, we need funding to be able to do that. The commercial banks are likely to look at those kind of investment and help us funding. But where it is seriously developmental, and as we get further down to the rural area and become developmental, most financial institutions would like to see the returns, a commercial institution that we're not likely to provide. But then we can, in addition of using USASA, use the like of the DBSA, use the like of IDC. So we are looking at a mixture of funding and not rely only on USASA, because we do not want all any of our projects to be delayed because of any other reason, especially funding. We need to make sure that we push ahead. And the Honourable Member asked, what are the challenges? Funding will always be a challenge of a project execution, but we're planning in advance to make sure that we secure those funding with the commercial bank. As we started with the roadshow, we're engaging with all relevant parties to make sure that when we say now we roll in Northern Cape, then there are no issues and there are no excuses being given that we did not have funding. This year for us has been an extensive year of planning, as the CEO has indicated, network planning, engaging with the market, because most of the people in the market, honorable members and chair, they still do not know broadband and infra, so you have to start introducing yourself first when you talk to them. And as you introduce, it's part of the drive that we're doing, that you have to introduce them, they have to understand in the government space, where do you fit in? And even when you go to the bankers, you have to say, this is broadband and infra, and this is our mandate, and this is where we want to go. So that has been the relationship that we've been building with them, for them to understand that our shareholder is both the Department of Enterprise and IDC, and it you know, having the likes of IDC as well as public enterprise, it gives the financial institution and any other people, you know, some ideas of where they fit. If they go to IDC to talk about you. So it's about getting the market know, especially those that will be funding us, to understand who we are in the space and what's our role.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Honourable Members. As the CFO has indicated, Madam Chair asked about the extenuating circumstances within the company. The company has had governance challenges, and some were addressed, some were not addressed. From a PFMA point of view, all the interventions have been put in place to ensure that we minimize, and we had to go back to when the company started to say at the time of the signing of the sale agreement between Eskom, Transnet, and Broadband Infraco. At the time of formation of the company, the handover process was not seamless. Eskom still procured on behalf of Broadband Infraco. And when the company still had the 38 people, when the auditors came in the latter years, there was no one could say where the contracts were. But the contracts were started off at Eskom on behalf of the company. So we've had to go through that history to clean up. That's the first part. From a project point of view, the company served a single customer. The company couldn't serve anybody else. There was an agreement that was in place, but the company also did not have a license. It was only licensed in 2009. And it's only post the licensing period that the company could go out and be able to sell to other third parties. That means that not only that, the direct relationship from a maintenance point of view of the network resided with a third party. So all those relationships, as of the beginning of January this year, are directly managed by Broadband Infraco, which then enables us to be able to engage with Eskom and collaborate and plan accordingly, not only from an infrastructure point of view, but from a people point of view, that in the short and medium term, that we can be able to address what we are meant to be addressing. But where a network services one customer, it means it is designed for that customer. But it also means that there may be an element of overlooking what the mandate is. So, again there, we've gone back and said, what is our mandate and what is it that we would need to achieve and how do we put the plans together? Which is why, Honorable Member Sibanda, we've said that Mpumalanga Province, Limpopo Province, and the Eastern Cape are a priority for us because there is activity, as you say, economic activity, that whilst the private sector may not have gone there, it is a priority for us to ensure that we begin prioritizing those provinces and rolling out, because we have that understanding that there is economic activity within those specific provinces. And I think that's where we that's where we are at. In terms of the engineers and where where will we get these engineers from, there are provinces that do not have tertiary institutions, but there are students that are in institutions at tertiary institutions. So we ensure that we balance within that. But from our technicians that are out in the provinces, we ensure that for a regional center in Mpumalanga, we get resources from Mpumalanga. For a regional center that is within the Western Cape, we get technicians from the Western Cape specifically. Thank you.
Follow up before on that one of the engineers. You know, the other thing that you can look at in provinces, we've got a graduate, we've got people who are unemployed through our constituency offices. We can be able to actually get those people with math and science or whatever what you want. We can assist it through our constituency offices. Thanks. Honorable Sibande.
Okay. Okay. CFO. When you were responding, you started by explaining like what is the role of what CFO or whatever. We are quite sure aware about the role and the of the broadband. We're clear about it. But nevertheless, let me start by this one. You see, Mahatema, as a chairperson, why I raise the issue of the relationship between the rural era, I mean, in terms of rural development and yourself, is that you see, and you said you are still going to consider the relationship with the rural development. My worry is one. You see, by implication, it means that there is a lack of communication between internal. Because your relationship, it was going to inform your own program. That in this era, we lack of this and this and this, there are this and this and this and this. That's why I even raised the issue of schools. Whereby school, they need data, they need everything. You can't have libraries, you can't have laboratories. Because they need these systems of communication that if they were doing this and this and this and this. And correctly so, you were speaking about the issue of rural era, that whatever. I wonder if you do have a data. As you, unlike who Chairperson was going to ask, whether do you have a data, which will indicate that in Mpumalanga we do so much. In Northern Cape we do have so much. In Free State we do have so much students, which we have taken on board 1, 2, 3. Because my little experience taught us that in our era there's nothing happening. We are still maintaining the status quo as it was before. The focus is in the developed areas, like in the Gauteng, KZN, in the metros. Where there is no metro, you are in for it. Convince me if you do have the data. Yes, I would accept. And also, if you can improve on in terms of the issue of in taking on board the rural development. You see, another thing, from my own input, you said, delivery, last comment, where I wanted to raise a hand. She said that the delivery of access, where access is required, it means that in terms of their focus. Now, you are right. That's why we, time and again, we raise the issue of how can you bring change in the area there are no infrastructure. Because your process, your program still include the issue of infrastructure. And then also, in terms of you mentioned the issue about tenders, that people, whatever. You know, after maybe giving people responsibility, like in the form of tender, what mechanism do you have to make sure that SMMEs are taken on board? Because that is another challenge from our legal experience when we visited. We've been in Limpopo, we've been in Mpumalanga, we've been whatever, even last week. Most of the institutes from the government side, they don't have a system in place to make sure that you involve SMMEs, whatever. You see, that's where is my problem. And then, why, you know, like now, you have touched a very, very sensitive part. To say that last you have challenges with the government, some were addressed, get me well, some were addressed, some were not addressed. You make an example of the contracts which are still there, and then you make an example of the company which didn't have any license. But you see, what I'll propose and suggest in the near future, in order to equip us, because we are part of legislatures, those challenges, because we might not know. But if you tell us that, listen, in terms of legislature, in terms of section this and this and this, this is not, you are not taken for it, we are able to say, I want to, let's go back to the table, to the drawing board, to do 1, 2, 3. If some of the things they need, ministry, whatever, we are able to say, minister such and such, come, let's talk to you. Let's do this. And now, to me, it's vague. It's broad. We're not being directed to where is the problem in order to make a solution. In order to have an amicable solution in that regard. So,
yeah, thanks, Chair. Nebulin, look over Mamela Handle, Puzo Zenazaro Naudi, Udimola Handle, Honor Arabazon Handle. In the first batch of questions, there are questions that you have not responded to. The first one, I talked about the issue of job creation, how many people are going to be employed in this rollout. The other one, when I talk about stakeholders, how do you relate, how do you collaborate? You only responded to ESCOM, said nothing about Transnet, Sandra, and Transa, and so forth. And also the issue of skills. I said, what plans do we have, short term, medium, and long term, about the issue of skills, and that you have not responded to. On the issue of regional focus, if you say we are going to employ or you seek something from the region, how do the people of that region know? Where do you advertise? How do we know? Because as members of parliament, we have constituencies. It would be proper for us to inform people in our constituencies so that they should know these are the opportunities that are there. And the other issue of cleaning out the finances, what corrective measures are you putting in place? For instance, here I see there was a loss of 81 million and you reduced it to 27 million in 2012. I think it's not enough to, that reduction is not enough. It should be a clean slate. And also, well, I think you, also your revenue is improving. That's a good sign. But I think we need to have corrective measures in all the challenges that are pertaining to the finances. Maybe if you could just give us your plan, how do you intend to correct those challenges? I know you got an unqualified report. We are not satisfied with unqualified. It must be a clean audit. But you are moving there. We appreciate that, but at least we need a clean audit. That's
Thank you, Chairperson. I was listening to responses. Now, it sometimes becomes difficult when you listen to a response when you didn't hear the question. And you must avoid a situation where you just throw accusations which may be not relevant. Okay. Because as I was listening, I noted the preferential procurement arrangement, the localization of tenders. To regional level. You have partly covered me, Honorable Jacobs, but one other thing now is how do you then as, because you are not very old in the system, you are still new, how do you then ensure or justify quality as you would then be localizing your tenure in the system? Understanding that when you are talking to the region, I'm assuming, Chai, that they have assumed ESCOM's demarcation. I'm not privy to that. But if that's the case, you would then, Chair, surely understand that when you look at the South African, situation, standards are surely not the same. Now, are you, when you are saying you are just localizing, not creating a situation where the standards would be lowered in one region or the other? Linked to this question around your relations with ESCOM, I hear that you are somehow at the level of an MOU. Maybe, Chair, this was raised before I came in. How far are you with the handover? Is it now done? Are we now sure that there's nothing which still relates to ESCOM in terms of what would I say? In terms of dependence, without negating the normal working arrangement, as per the MOU. But are you now independent by yourself from ESCOM? And lastly, Chair, this one I should have link it with my first question, because it's about the commercial viability of your clients, particularly at the provincial level or at the regional level. That are you by now having a database wherein you then begin to know that this would need this kind of analysis? Thanks,
Chair. Okay, CEO and CFO, I'm not really quite sure whether you did respond to the question that I asked, that from page 13 onwards, that you, those slides are not detailed enough. We want, for example, what are the time frames for this project, and also what municipalities will be connected and by when. Those are the, I think I checked with the person who's writing the responses. Maybe it was an oversight on your part or on her part that we didn't get that. Your expected challenges also. The questions that I asked, even the implementation, I did say the slow implementation that you said. If you can. And what I want you also to have a relationship with this committee, because we represent provinces. When you do your road shows, if you can let us know so that where we are available, we can accompany you, even if it's not all the members of the committee. ESCOM will tell you they do it when there is even sometimes on their programs, then they want to make sure that they do it maybe during a constituency period where the, a member of the, this committee in that particular area will be accompanying them so that we witness these things. Because like Honorable Sibande said, empower us so that we can empower you. You know, there are motions in the house, beautiful things that you are doing, we must let the public know about them. And you must look at us as the people who whom you can work together. I guess, yes, we must work together. So any information, communicate through the secretary, then I will pass on to the members. Can you respond to the questions, the last questions that were asked? I was waiting for Honorable Sibande to come so that you don't respond in his absence. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honorable members. I would like to indicate to honorable members that we've had an extensive engagement with the provinces. We have visited provinces more than once.
When you say engagement with provinces, maybe indicate which department, who actually in the province, because if you say province, it's like saying I was in parliament.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have details of our first point of call when we engage with the provinces was the units of economic development. From the units of economic development, if I may take the Free State as an example, we then got to engage with the economic cluster specifically. From that economic cluster, we went to the level of the Forum of HODs, FOHOD, where we explained the mandate, the province shared its plans. Within the Eastern Cape, we have had engagements, again, entry point being economic development. But that has been at the back of us going on provincial roadshows with the executive authority, and then taking it from that point onwards. The information, Honorable Chair and members on those engagements is available as to which specific units we've engaged with, what the discussions were about. With regards with collaboration with entities, honorable members, Transnet, the discussions with Transnet are at very early stages, but we have agreed in terms of us having a memorandum of agreement with them as well. We finished off with the Eskom one and are now engaging with Transnet so that we may conclude that specific contract as well. As I indicated, those relationships those direct relationships are only beginning now post January this year. With regards to PRASA and SANRAL as enablers, we have engaged with our executive authority, indicated that specifically PRASA is in metro areas, so the services are still relevant to us. SANRAL does have telecommunications infrastructure. It is a member of the co-build in terms of where operators have come together. And we've indicated to the executive authority that we'd like those engagements to happen. And once that is agreed at that level, we can engage with those state-owned companies directly.
And also, France and Sandra was under the committee, the select committee that is being chaired by Honorable Sibande. So you see, you are in good hands. If you interact with Praza, you'll communicate with the select committee on public service, which is transport. You'll communicate with him so that we are doing this 1, 2, 3, and it's like we are not getting the necessary responses. Can you assist as the committee? Because we want to see these things being implemented so that at the end of our term, we are able to say we were part.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable members, I stand here as CE to say that it may have been an oversight on our side that as we go, we're not engaging the committee. But from now onwards, we will ensure that the communication is open to the through the secretariat, that there is transparency. And again, through the secretariat, we shall also provide an indication of the engagements that we've had thus far, which the sectors we've met with within the provinces. Hand over to CFO.
Thank you very much. I'd like to address the issue of management of SMME. I gave an example of an Upington tender that we did, which was our first one to do regional-based, where we were actually installing fiber in that area and on Eskom, and we're doing surveillance on it. What we did as part of our contractual agreement with the service provider, as I've indicated, because they are working on the Eskom network, that service provider needed to be accredited with Eskom in the region. So the service provider were accredited by Eskom in the region, but we had a contractual agreement with regards to the deliverables. And as part of the deliverables that we do, is one of the items is working with the local service provider, which was identified, and we work as the project is now progressing. There is a specialist that is assigned to that particular item, that particular contract that manage the relationship with the SMME in the region. And most, and I think it will also address the issue of quality. We are talking about electricians that are properly accredited as well, even though they're SMMEs, so they need to get the right certificate. So we are not compromising quality, especially because Eskom will not let us mess up their network. So what we're doing, we work with Eskom, and we will not willingly destroy the infrastructure. So what we do, there are qualified electricians that are just small, medium enterprises that they are working with this particular service provider. So Upington was our first project that we're working with them. We need to make sure that all the terms of deliverables, we do meet them. And it is very the tender was issued last year. It is still at the very initial stage of working on that one. So as that, we're monitoring them. But again, we're pushing this thing. I mean, one of the products that we, as I indicated, the containers. The container need to last for 10 years, a minimum of 10 years, and the standard that it must comply with before it gets deployed. But there are certain work that we believe we do not meet serious and stringent. I mean, we like what we do in every container, we put the plinth. And I think once you get somebody who is qualified to do the foundation, the plinth, we get those people in the local industry to do the plinth for the constructor that comes and put. Because, I mean, in the past we used to take people from Gauteng to just go and do a plinth and fencing for those areas. But we see that as a low-hanging fruit for us to build economic development in those areas. I think, you know, sometimes we pay a lot of money for transportation of things that you can actually get in the local environment. But quality is not one that we will compromise on, because our customer holds us accountable for faults and everything. So we make sure that when it comes to that, we do not compromise quality. But in the broadband business that we're running, we are identifying really there are business opportunity. Small, medium enterprises can fit in and they can make a financial sustainable business for themselves. And as we roll out the pulp, I think Honorable Sibanda, if I'm not mistaken, when you indicated, or was it, sorry, Madam Chair, when you said, where do you go? I mean, in all this area, when you look at Free State, we will say, we will go to Lejolibutso, we will go, I mean, the list of our projects, we do appreciate that maybe the presentation does not list the municipality and the district that we're looking at, but we do have details that go past it, and we will say we want to build point of presence in places like Magalu, Bloemhof. Some of them, they're there, we just need to refurbish, but in areas where they've never been there, Thabo Mofutsanyane, those are the list of provinces that we're saying we need to do point of presence. So we have identified, when we say 37 municipalities, there's a list. We just, I think, we didn't list them, and we take note of it that we can list them and say these are the province, sorry, these are other municipalities, because we're looking at those municipalities as a focus area. And I do appreciate this, you address the constituents. This is the thing that will be very valuable to discuss as where is broadband going to. Issues of corrective measure, and maybe let me start talking about the handover of BBI from Eskom. We are an independent state-owned entity, and Eskom has ended over. Yes, it took longer than maybe we expected, or maybe initially when it was expected, but it is very clear we operate independently. Our board, the CEO, the ANO. What we do now with Eskom is at an arm's-length transaction. We do everything with them on a contractual basis. We make sure that we're well protected as an entity, as we've got fiduciary responsibility to broadband infraco, and anything else that we work with in Eskom is what we will do with Transnet, and it's mostly what we will do with other entities, depending on the need and requirement. Do we share experience, knowledge? Yes, we do that. But when it comes to contractual issues, they are very clear that there are contractual relationships between us and Eskom. And the corrective measure with regard to the financial losses and irregular expenditure, as I said, we have and we're continuously doing training for everybody. In the past, I think training was just meant for the supply chain people, but we have identified that even the board needs training when they come to the PFMA, everybody needs training. So we are putting, they've gone, most of the board members have gone through, especially those that are assigned with the responsibility of making sure that when we have finalized the tenders and all the stuff, it goes through them. They have gone through that. As a company, we've put policies like code of conduct and ethics that we say every employee must subscribe to it and everyone must sign them as part of the employee, that they must understand their responsibility. Our HR department was running a code of ethics training program in the last few weeks, which just said to people, what are your responsibilities, what you're supposed to do as an employee of the state, and what you're not supposed to do as a broadband employee. When it comes to, and those are some of the things that we're saying, we've identified the gap, we realize, you know, sometimes you find that people have caused irregular expenditure. and they are far removed from finance, they are far removed from supply chain department. So when you really do your investigation, you realize that maybe there was a gap in us providing them with the right tools, making sure that they understand why we need to do what we need to do. So the process of information sharing, making sure that everybody knows that they are accountable, making sure that they know that when they speak with the supplier, they are taken as representing Broadband, so they cannot make any commitment on behalf of Broadband Infraco without the right mandate and the right delegation of authority. So those are the corrective measures that we've put in place, and we also let them know that we keep a register of all the wrongdoings, and we will do, as PFMA require us to do, to take it forward. I mean, PFMA put certain requirements for employer to follow, and that's what we said. It is according to the law that you need to do that. So it is important that I think the committee get to know that we have put some measures in place to avoid the repetition of the past. Yes, Madam Chair, you mentioned about the challenge of the project, and I'm not sure if you were already out at that time when we said that this year, because it was a year of us rolling out, sorry, the year of us making sure that everything is fine, what we've been doing most of the time this year to make sure that the 2013 project, especially because it's just around the corner, roll out as planned, is that challenges such as funding, challenges such as skills and the resources, because I think the resources are our biggest challenge, as to say, with regard to labor, with regard to funding, and one of Broadband Infraco's challenge was even to have a supplier, a main supplier, so that we can roll out of it. We have established framework agreements with number of service providers so that we are able to get the product, goods and services when we need it. We have actually now been, as indicated, looking for funding, and we are filling vacancies, because that's another problem, that one of the challenges for any project not to. We are filling vacancies to make sure that come 2013 we are ready and geared to at least deliver on the first project on the list of the 2014 list of projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Honourable Members. If we may contextualize the size of Broadband Infraco, that we have a headcount of about 168 employees, of which about 91 of those people are in the technical environment. As the CFO has indicated, we would be filling in the vacancies. Today we have 19 vacancies in the technical environment, and we will be starting with our internship program, and as we bring in 10 engineers in, retain 5 of those engineers. I think our input to the new growth path is about ensuring that the ICT skills are available. We've said that there's a shortage of skills. We have less and less number of engineers graduating. And with Transnet, in this case, investing in engineers, we would like to tap into that, to bring those engineers in, that they can be trained specifically within the telecoms environment. So from a direct creation of jobs point of view, our focus is on the ICT skills, and ensuring that we empower young people. I mean, the average age of our organization is 32. We have a very young organization. Our organization is about 97% African. So the focus in terms of who has been brought in, who is being trained, and the kind of skills that our engineers acquire at a much quicker rate than they would have had if they were in the private sector is quite high because of the size of the organization. So we are looking at program of empowering the engineer internally, where we even rotate our engineers internally because of if you train them, the private sector needs them. There's a shortage of the ICT skill. So we are putting programs in place of ensuring that we rotate our engineers internally. So those are some of the programs that we are putting in place, that when an individual leaves the organization, we shouldn't be able to fill the gap immediately. Whilst we are recruiting, we are able to move people around so that the job can still continue, and that we are able to deliver on our mandate. I'm not sure if the CFO responded to the corrective measures that are put in place, which was the question in the first round and the second round. Okay, in that case, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
I think we might have skipped one. I'm not sure. The database of client per province. I'm not sure. I always say, maybe unfortunate for us, we do not have a vast number of clients and customers at the moment. We have customers, and we handful of them, but big customers as well, because we are servicing operators. We are servicing Vodacom and Neotel, and so as the big operators, the mobile operators, and we're servicing the IT companies. So most of them are geographically located in Gauteng province based on where they are, but they service the entire country. We do have other, we have regional customers as well that comes from Zimbabwe, that comes from Namibia, and then we also are in Lesotho. We've got a customer that is based in Lesotho. So most of our customers are those big. So the list of customers will just be in one page, but they are big and significant by nature of their process. Thank you.
Thanks. I thought we okay. I think if the house would allow me, I'll just ask that. I'll notice some few questions. I think we'll just allow the company to provide additional details. I think with slide 15, your question, Madam Chair, and the issues around skills and I think potential jobs from the thing. So I think we will send through, if you allow, additional written responses to that, because I think the level of detail, I don't think they managed to cover it quite quick on that. And I think the one just maybe I would comment on is the issue around the losses of governance, because I think it's related, interrelated, would be to say, I think it's, from a pattern of the challenge was that it actually also emanated from the board. I think that's why I think from the shareholder perspective, there was a change of board. And that as part of the process to rectify the challenge, because some of the board members were involved in some of the irregularities with the company, as well as there were, I think with that process there were also changes in executive management at the company. I think that's why they mentioned around the issues of some of the vacancies they had. So I think the CE is less than 6 months in the position, where I think there was the previous CE had actually resigned and the department seconded an acting CE. So I think there was a part of those corrective measures from a shareholder perspective.
Thank you, Madam.
I think all those must be submitted by next week Friday. Let's say next week Friday. We're giving you enough time to actually sit and give us the full information that we require, so that in our report, you must also feature in our report, annual report, so that you know people know, because that will be a public document, and also ourselves in our constituencies. Otherwise, so this information is for grassroots. Okay, let me just thank you at this point in time, CEO and CFO and the department, to say, ladies, keep it up. That communication must really run like machine loans. I see you've got 48.7% of males and 33.9% females. Hopefully the next time we meet, we'll be like maybe 55-48. You know, we'll see. So that is the bad cost. But that's why you're here. Women must be empowered. On that note, thank you very much, and you are pleased to leave. You can leave in peace. And then, honorable members, you can also leave the meeting, stands adjourned. As you see, I don't have to say it. You know, thanks for coming. Next week we are going to KZN. Next week. It's not for Telkom, Eskom and ICASA. It's our other cap that we are wearing. We're wearing many caps. Sheltered employment. We're going to KZN. But really, honorable members, it has been approved today, so we go in. But we will go after, I think we will go after...